Didn't catch that. Should have caught that on the record. But anyways. He is the shepherd. Whether it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I'd like for us to look at some verses. Non-traditional. We're not going to review the 23rd Psalm. Even though it is one of the greatest passages. How do you say my favorite passage? You know? The only thing I can say that's my favorite is my wife. Okay? She's my favorite. But a favorite passage, favorite food? Well, maybe. I don't know. Is it that favorite you want to eat it every day for 3 meals a day? No. You know? But the shepherd, you know, Jesus, God the Father, should be our favorite when it comes to guidance in our lives. And I don't know about any of you, but this week, even though I had some great triumphs, I had some great trials. Each week contains triumphs and trials. And I hope that you're praying to be joyful, irregardless of what you go through this week, as we start a week. As I was cleaning out a thumb drive that had a bunch of pictures and special stuff on it this week, I've come across this. I don't know how long I've had it. Can't remember where I got it. But I had it as a lesson topic, and that's what our lesson is based on this morning, our shepherd. Our shepherd stills us. And when I read these, it reminded me of the 23rd Psalm, thus our passage this morning. God stills you, reassures you, leads you, enlightens you, forgives you, calms you, encourages you, and comforts you. Satan rushes you, frightens you, pushes you, confuses you, condemns you, stresses you, discourages you, and worries you. Recognize that this week, brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to say, Satan, get behind me. Now, there's times in our lives and we don't feel one way or the other, obviously. Sometimes it's tough. How many of us got rushed this week? How many of us might have been frightened this week? How many of us felt pushed or confused or condemned? Stress. You know, all of us in here still working are under stress. You guys are retired. You're just stress-free. I understand. I'm thankful for your stress-free lives. Just jesting. Discouragement, worries, folks. Do you wake up in the morning? I'm going to use this analogy. You wake up in the morning and be it still. Are you reassured? Are you ready to be led by God the Father? Are you ready to forgive and be forgiven? To be enlightened? To be calm? To encourage you? Comfort you? Folks, we get busy in our lives. We got to make sure we make time for God to direct our steps. And as we read this morning the 23rd Psalm, folks, question after looking at what God does for us. I shall not want. He is my shepherd. He leads me. He restores me. I will fear no evil. They comfort me. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And as we talked about in class this morning, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you waiting to be part of the kingdom of heaven, or are you now part of the kingdom of heaven? And I'll declare to you that God's holy word says, if you'd obeyed the gospel and you're following him, you are part of the kingdom of heaven now. Psalms 46, it is written, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, a holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to end on the earth, of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, obviously, the psalmist wrote this thousands and thousands of years ago. And if, as we look at the history of the world, nations have come, nations have gone. Nations have come, nations have gone. Except for the nation that God has promised. Okay? Nation of the Old Testament, which is God's chosen people. Nations of the New Testament, which is those of the New Testament, God's chosen people, which are us, those that are in the kingdom of heaven. But this verse, be still and know that I am God. How many of us want to make our kids be still right now? Shh, be still. Yes, no. But folks, in our daily lives, to take a minute to make sure you recognize and are humbled by the power of God in our lives. Jeremiah 5:24 says, they do not say to themselves, let us fear our God, who gives autumn and spring rains and season, who assures us of the regular weeks of harvest. Folks, talking about assurance, part of that list that God does for us. How assured are you that this week's going to be a good week for you? How assured are you that you're going to go to Kroger and they're going to have what you want on the shelf? Okay? Those of you that went to Aldi's this week and wanted to buy something for Thanksgiving, that place in Lebanon now is a madhouse. You'd think it was Harbor Freight tools going on sale. Every redneck in the country's in there, but you know how I know that. You know, I asked Brother Phil. No. Just kidding. I've been there myself. But what I say that, folks, is there are some things that are just assured, and God's promises are that assurance for us. We've been blessed beyond measure. And to go through life troubled that we don't have the insurances of being forgiven and being provided for. It's part of our attitude and reliance on God. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Now, there's folks in the world today that want us to believe that Jesus is not all in all. That Jesus is not the Son of God. That Jesus is too busy to care about our daily troubles. Never once did he say that when he was here, did he? He never left us doubt or doubting that he loves us and he cares for us and he has a plan for us. That we should have assurance, blessed assurance in God. In Colossians 4:12, it is written, I practiced on saying this word like 20 times. Who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Epaphras. Folks, are you fully matured? Are you fully assured? Are you standing firm in the will of God? Jesus said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me to life. Folks, are you being led in the straight and narrow way? That comes from Jesus. That comes from the shepherd. It comes from God. If you're not, there's one other person, one other being that you're being led by. And they heard this. They had no further objections, and praising God, saying, so then even the Gentiles God has granted repentance that leads to life. Folks, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And this verse in Acts is written even to the Gentiles. Even to the Gentiles. Folks, we talked about it in the last month or so in one of the lessons. About how we really want to pick and choose who gets our grace and our mercy. Actually, we talked about it. And I didn't hand out no white pieces of paper, did I, for those of you here last Sunday night. So I'll use that illustration again real quick this morning. Clean piece of paper, okay? How many of us are keeping a list of what our spouse has done or hadn't done in the last week? Or our boss? Or our children? Or is the list that you have for them clean and white as snow? And how do you expect the shepherd to keep track of your list? Because Jesus says, and God the Father says, your sins will be remembered no more and are white as snow. Each and every second of your life. We want Jesus to forgive us and have no list. Do we reciprocate that? Do we let him lead us in doing the same thing with each other? I don't have a tit for tat list with my spouse. With my boss, with my kids. Folks, what type of sheet are you carrying around? One with a list or one that's white as snow? It really affects how we treat each other and how we look at each other. And how our relationships can be led by the shepherd. Romans 6:22, it is written, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. How many of us would like to be set free from having to go to work? I would love to retire and just be on Easy Street. Like Brother Bob. He just raised his hand and said amen. But you know what, folks? I like to spend money. I like to give back to God what I've been blessed with as I've been prospered. I like to share blessings in the flesh, okay, earthly wealth with those I love. How many of us are going to buy nothing at all for Christmas? For nobody. Except for Bob. Okay, Phil, break the mold. You know? That's true. Sometimes spouse goes out and buys everything for the family. I understand. Some things work that way. But folks, can you imagine not wanting to buy anything for anybody during that time of year? The benefit you reap leads to holiness, becoming slaves of God, letting the shepherd of heaven guide us in the things we do. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. I had no idea the things that God has written in His Word leads us to until this morning, or this week, I should say, when I was studying this lesson. Leads us to triumph, leads us to salvation. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, that leads to godliness. Folks, I asked a question this morning. Do you want to be triumphant? Do you want to have salvation? Do you want to be a godly person? That's kind of tough to grasp. I want to be godly. Sounds arrogant, sounds egotistical, but you know what? God's holy word says, add these things to your faith. Add virtue, add knowledge, add understanding, add patience, add self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. And when I think of that, to be like Him, to be following my Savior, my Shepherd, the Most High. Because in Psalms it is written, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. The statutes of the Lord are upright, rejoicing the heart. And commandment of the Lord is pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In Ephesians 1 and 18, that you may know what is the hope of His calling? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? If you remember, folks, the things that were up here on one side, I wish I could just go back to that slide to show you a little bit. We're looking at all the things that God does for us. We're not looking at the things, by the way, I know it may seem long, but we're not looking at the things Satan, because today I want to be positive. We're going to look at the things that God's doing for us. So as you get in, as we look at God's holy word and being enlightened. Now, this is a heavenly and a shepherdly enlightenment. This isn't the enlightenment that I'm glad my husband was enlightened and took the trash out today because it was starting to smell a little bit. Or I'm glad my teenage son got enlightened and started changing his socks and cleaning his shoes. Okay? Maybe just your husband, right? Maybe not a teenage son. I don't know. You know, we hope for people to be enlightened about certain simple things in our life. You know? But are we looking forward to removing ourselves from darkness, being able to see with the eyes and the mind of the Shepherd Christ, to be enlightened and understanding in the riches of His glory and the inheritance of His saints? Which leads us to the next consideration that God so richly gives us daily. In Acts 5:31 it is written, Him God has exalted to His right hand to be a Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. To open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Folks, a shepherd with the forgiveness, a God Almighty that recognizes all our sins, public, private, secret, folks, What a great God. What a measurable power in that forgiveness to forgive us. This week's going to be Thanksgiving, right? Are you thankful for forgiveness and the power of thanksgiving, power of forgiveness? One of the best ways you can be an example to those people you gather with this Thanksgiving is to forgive them. We'll meet with family members that there's some history about and there's some drama about, right? Some of us got big drama, some of us got little drama, but all of us have some drama in our families. Go to Thanksgiving, folks, representing the kingdom of heaven with a white sheet of paper for everybody that you see. And see how that works for us, representing the kingdom of heaven. Because that's what we want from the shepherd, right? We want a clean slate. We want to be forgiven. We want to be right. We want to be godly. We in turn have to give that same example, same forgiveness, same love and consideration, irregardless, folks, of how we've been hurt or what sins have been committed against us or those we love. Don't let someone else's sin rob you of your joy of following the shepherd. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The only passages I could find in the Bible that talk about being calm, I just thought there'd be a whole bunch more. Whole bunch more passages. Jonah, disciples in the boat. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Now, how would you know if you were with Jonah to throw him overboard? Story of Jonah, okay? Big fish. Didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Running from God. God says, nah, you got some stuff to do for me. I'm going to teach you a lesson, Jonah. And I'm going to teach millions of people a lesson through your life for the rest of history. Jonah says, the calm storm will calm down if you throw me out of the ship. What happened when they threw him out of the ship? Storm calmed down. Fish grabbed a hold of him. Spent a little, couple, 3 days in the fish. And then he got spit out on shore. But back to what the shepherd can do for us. Calm, calm, calm. Folks, what's the Jonah you need to throw out of the boat in your life? Maybe you don't have one. Maybe you've already thrown him overboard. Satan, get behind me. But you know, some of us just won't let go of that person or that thing that continues in our life to make stormy and make drama and rob us from the shepherd bringing peace and joy and forgiveness to our heart. Throw that Jonah overboard. Don't let them lead you. Let the shepherd lead you. But Jesus, Matthew 8. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Same story, written by Mark, chapter 4. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Same story, written by Luke, chapter 8. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Only the shepherd can give us that calm that we desire. Now, I can represent that, and I can help by forgiving and loving. Okay? How many of us, our spouse had a bad day this week? Anybody? I'm going to raise my hand because I'm a spouse, so maybe I gave my spouse a bad day. Okay? Isn't it good for us to be the calm in the storm for somebody else? Huh? Now, I want to help those people that are having a bad day. Let me tell you what you need to do. Is that what you want to hear? No. All they wanted was the storm to calm. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Jesus said, "O ye of little faith, peace be still." And he rebuked the wind and the raging water. Jesus is always there, ready to calm our storm. We just got to reach out to him. We got to call on the shepherd. I don't know about you, but I like to be encouraged. Okay? Yesterday was an encouraging day. Spend time with brothers working here at the church. Okay? Very encouraging. It's encouraging to come home to warm dinner, night. You know? It's encouraging to know that no matter what I do in a day of life, the shepherd loves me. The shepherd has plans for me. The shepherd is encouraging me to follow him. Then he came and had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord speaking. And when they had read it, this is the letter that was sent to Syria. They rejoiced over its encouragement. Folks, when's the last time you wrote somebody a note or picked up the phone and just said, "I love you. I was thinking about you"? I would ask you this week, if you're reading Facebook, you're reading Twitter, whatever else, Snapchat, whatever else you guys are using. Folks, use it to encourage somebody in the faith. Use it to represent the kingdom of heaven. Reach out. Tell somebody you love them, irregardless. Tell them, "In your eyes, I see a clean white sheet," because that's what Jesus sees. "I love you no matter what." To encourage in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, "that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ." Folks, the best that we can do on this earth is to help our homes be following after Jesus the shepherd. And it's tough because we also want our coworkers to follow after Jesus. We want our boss to follow after Jesus. And we want our neighbors to follow after Jesus. And we want the people that we rear end on the way home in a car wreck to follow after Jesus and be nice to us. And I say that because I hit somebody Friday afternoon on the way home. I was about 8th in line, blue light, Indianapolis. Everybody took off. And I was calling the wife, and I looked over at my screen to see if it was calling or not. Bam! Hit him before I even knew I did. Smashed that Ford up pretty bad. My Dodge just got a little bit down in the bumper. But the gentleman was very kind. He's a retired gentleman, military, was in Vietnam. Got to know some about him. folks, why that happened and why I had to spend that time there with that gentleman, I don't know. It's a complete stranger that was kind to me when I had done something wrong to him. Not on purpose, by no means. It was an accident. Same way for us, folks, to be able to react. To be reacting. I was in a hurry. I was going to get home. I had this to do. I had that to do. But I had to calm down. I had to be encouraged by a stranger. I had to apologize. That's the first thing I did. I'm sorry. I didn't say it was my fault, but I said I was sorry. I use godly terms, not legal terms. Folks, take the encouragement when you get it, but give it back. Because that's comforting. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. This is my comfort and my affliction, for your word has given me life. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That Shepherd and that Holy Word, Holy Spirit, and the God Almighty continues to comfort us and direct our paths. Now may God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. Almost all the things we're talking about that we expect from the shepherd is reciprocal when we give it back to those around us, like-minded towards one another. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. God's holy word stills us, it reassures us, it leads us, it enlightens us, forgives us, calms us and encourages us and comforts us. Folks, we looked at all kinds of passages. I can send that to you on Facebook too, sister. But folks, recognize when we feel the things that Satan rushes us and pushes us and the things that he does for us. Allow the shepherd to guide your footprints and your steps this week as you go about serving him and his kingdom. It's great to be saved. Don't let anybody rob your joy this week or anything. Encourage you to continue in your faith and add to it with some of the passages and a lesson we've looked at this morning. Thank you for being here. If there's any need at all to respond to the invitation to become a Christian, have your sins washed away in the baptism, or prayers of congregation, we ask that you make that known if you need it, as we stand sing the selected hymn this morning. I thought you